Our guest on The Year That Made Me today is one of the luminaries of the vibrant cultural scene of Sydney's western suburbs. El Fresh the Lion is a hip-hop artist, music producer, and also, as he puts it, a cultural architect and community builder. Born and raised in southwest Sydney into a Sikh family who migrated from Punjab, India, El Fresh has been at the forefront of change in the Australian hip-hop scene now for almost two decades. Along the way, he's supported American rapper Nas, been on the Australian jury for Eurovision, performed at the UN headquarters in New York, and even composed and performed the team song for the Sydney Kings basketball team. El Fresh the Lion, welcome to The Year That Made Me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your most recent release is called Reincarnated, and in it you pay musical tribute to your grandfather. Before we talk about your life story, could you tell us about his?
Yeah, so my grandfather and grandmother both migrated to Australia in the mid-80s. They were certainly pioneers. They were pretty well established in Punjab in the village of Jagran where they came from. And it was my eldest auntie on my mum's side who decided to make the leap to come to Australia. And when she got here, I guess being the first, having no community connections and knew nobody else out here, my grandparents decided to tag along and see her along with that journey. And when my grandparents came, then basically my mum's entire family came bar one sibling, and she's got like six, seven siblings. So they all came and set up shop in southwest Sydney, and my grandparents' home was basically the home for the Sikh community in southwest Sydney. Basically, my grandparents were like the grandparents for every Punjabi Sikh kid or every Sikh kid in southwest Sydney. I bump into people regularly, routinely now, and they're like, yeah, I remember your grandparents. Like, your grandfather was like a grandfather to me, or your grandmother was like a grandmother to me, or their home was just, their door was always open. I was always there before and after school, in between, you know, my parents' work life and then picking me up and dropping me off. And there was always people from all over the community just there hanging out. So there were very pivotal figures in the community and pillars of our community, not just for them, but within our family as well. So, losing first my grandmother and then my grandfather certainly rocked our family and also more broadly our community as well.
What was it like for you growing up in southwest Sydney?
I grew up with family all around, as you could probably tell, community and family all around. Always something going on, birthday parties to attend, family getting together, gathering around, you know, watching the cricket, or just using any excuse to kind of get together and hang out. I had plenty of cousins to compete against in any and every sport, but predominantly cricket. And we were always over each other's houses. I guess for me growing up, I really enjoyed that about having, you know, family around, a younger sibling as well to play with, compete with. And for us, it was very much a standard kind of Punjabi household. Punjabi was the main language spoken in our household. And the sonic palette or music palette of our house was either, you know, Sikh worship music known as Kirtan, or whatever kind of songs were coming from the movies, the kind of Bollywood or Punjabi movies that my parents were watching at the time. And then as I got older, my cousin as a hobby picked up DJing and loved playing Punjabi music, all types of Punjabi music around the house. So that was kind of the sonic palette. But my life outside the home was very different to life inside the home. Outside of the home, I was just, felt like in many situations, I was one of one, that I was the only Sikh kid who, you know, had his hair long, you know, especially when I was young with no facial hair, was mistaken for being a young girl. I had to, you know, my parents had to correct, no, he's actually a boy, and educate people about, you know, why we keep our hair and so on and so forth. But yeah, like, basically, I grew up with friends from all different walks of life. I really enjoyed that, especially as I got older, just to be able to have all these different influences of language, of food, of experience, of interests, because that helped shape, I guess, the way that I speak, and also just my love for southwest Sydney and western Sydney as well.
So clearly there's two very strong cultural influences there. In your early years, El Fresh, did you feel them to be in tension?
Yes, I definitely felt that in many different ways. Like, it's really hard to articulate sometimes because I guess I felt like in the broader community, you know, going to school, going out or whatever, I was made to feel different in the way that I look. I definitely experienced bullying, discrimination, people, you know, yelling obscenities at me from the car based on the way that I look and my appearance, or people kind of pointing out or making fun of my parents' accent or the language that we speak in Punjabi language. When I play competitive sport, race was definitely a point of that was used in sledging when sledging became too intense. Mm. So I played cricket competitively up until about 15, 16 years old, played representative level cricket really competitively. Before music, to be a cricket player for Australia like Usman Khawaja was my dream. And so, you know, sledging was part and parcel of the game, and I enjoyed it. I still enjoy sledging to this day, but it felt like when you got the edge and you were a bit better or you were doing better than your opponent, then the way they lash out was then go to race to try to get an edge over you because they couldn't beat you any other way. So that was outside the home, that point of difference was definitely made felt. Then within the home, I guess as I got older and I realized that I was certainly a hybrid of all the different cultural experiences and cultures I was being exposed to, I felt like I was different to everybody else in the Sikh community as well. Mm. And so that was a weird dynamic. I grew up not really feeling like I fit in anywhere. At a certain point, I lost fluency in Punjabi language too. And that was a reaction to me letting go of anything that I was made to feel inferior about, that was connected to culture due to all the bullying and stuff and the discrimination. I kind of started to let go. And language was the one that I felt I let go of first. It almost feels like I just locked it deep inside me and it was just, I couldn't unlock it again. So when I went to India, even more, I didn't fit in. You know, I didn't feel like, even though I had the same skin color, people look like me, I didn't fit in there. In my childhood to teenage years, it was definitely a battle of identity and trying to figure out who I am and where I belong.
In the latest album, I think you say that you raised a bit of hell. What sort of hell did you raise as a teenager?
Well, I took the non-traditional path. Firstly, I chose to become a rapper instead of some sort of a professional, working professional. So that gave my parents headaches. But no, even as a kid, you know, like I would do the thing that probably they least expected. So instead of just playing cricket, I also picked up the skateboard and started skateboarding, you know, with my mate down the street, you know, my Aussie mate down the street. And we just loved skateboarding all the time. And I was coming home with injuries all the time, you know, banged up shins. And I've definitely always been a person who liked to just try doing different things. I don't like following instructions in terms of like, if I'm learning something, I prefer to get my hands dirty and just try it and figure out my way as I go. So that often meant I was, yeah, falling flat on my face in many, many ventures. When I started making music, I was really identifying with rap music. When I was in school, I was being introduced to different styles and different genres of music from my friends in school. And you know, Vitamin C to like Silverchair to just Eminem and Tupac. And I guess once I found rap, I just became obsessed. And my style of clothing changed. I started to wear baggier clothes. I started to talk the slang. I started to really do that. So that started to drive my parents a bit crazy too. It's like, what's happening to our kid? He's like morphing into something else before our eyes. So it also appealed to, I guess, the fighter in me, the rebellious nature in me as well, because I guess when I found hip-hop, I was also really tapping into stories that my parents were telling me about Sikh culture and Sikh history. And for those who don't know, Sikh history has a long history of warrior tradition, which stems from fighting off battles against invaders, colonizers, oppressors, standing up for not just for yourselves, but other communities as well. And those stories really resonated with me at the same time as I was listening to hip-hop songs about marginalization and rising up against the system or structures that are oppressing people, holding people down. So I guess I started to develop that mindset too and get into a, you know, never too much trouble, but a bit of trouble. So that was definitely a bit of a hellraiser for my parents for sure.
On The Year That Made Me, we're speaking with El Fresh the Lion, and something that me and El Fresh have in common is that we both dreamed of playing cricket for Australia. It sounds like you got a bit closer to achieving your dream than I ever did, El Fresh. But how did you transition from focusing and dreaming about cricket to wanting to be a musician?
I had an injury when I was like 13, 14 years old, and it's a funny story to talk about because when I say that, it's like, oh man, it must have been some sort of serious injury to take you off your journey to becoming a, you know, wanting to be a cricket player for Australia. But I had an ingrown toenail in one of my feet. I guess it became a bit of an issue. It took me, it knocked me out for a season. And the reason why is because I ignored it. I didn't think it was anything. Then I started to get, a bloody big toe, and it became infected, and I kept avoiding procedures, even though doctors were saying, you might have to get, we might have to cut it out. I kept avoiding it because I wanted to keep playing, and then I eventually had to get surgery on it to get it cut out. So I lost the season. Then I came back, and I got another ingrown toenail, but on the other foot, and so I had to get another surgery, so I was out and probably half a season. So I missed a season and a half in that kind of, that growth spurt years as a teenager. But it was during that time where I also found music, because I had all this spare time. I wasn't at cricket training and stuff like that. And that was when I was being introduced to hip-hop music, and I just became obsessed with wanting to figure out how to make my own. That became my passion. So by the time I came back to cricket, it was kind of interesting because I defiantly held on to that dream. But it was also, presented with that harsh reality of like everyone else is 10 times better than you now. And everyone else is bowling that much faster, has that much more concentration when they're batting. They're doing the little things in fielding that you missed out on learning about in that year and a half. So I was trying to catch up, but I just really struggled to keep up with everyone's growth and development, especially at a representative level. And so I went from being a burgeoning kind of star youth player to struggling to keep my spot in the side at a representative level. And I guess my mind started to wander. So like I would be fielding in the outfield, and instead of paying attention to the game, I'd be like rapping to myself, freestyle rapping to myself, and a ball would come. I'd be like, oh crap, like I totally was not paying attention. So my interest at the same time, my interest and my passion started to shift over to music.
How early on did you start integrating what you'd learnt of the Sikh and Indian music traditions with what you'd drawn from hip-hop and American music?
It's a really interesting question. The first memory that kind of comes to mind is the first actual instrument that I learned to play musically was the tabla, which is like Indian percussion hand drums. My dad taught me when I was really, really young, and I used to accompany him as he played kirtan or Sikh worship music. And within this style of music, there's a lot of structure, and your role as a rhythm is very much like that of the rhythm guitarist or the drummer. You're there to kind of keep pace, keep tempo, and everything else can kind of move around you. When I started making music and learning about different styles of hip-hop music production and the way different producers made beats, I was very inspired by both DJ Premier and J Dilla, who their music's production style is very influenced by swing. Like they have a swing in their drum patterns and a lot of syncopation. And the curiosity got the better of me one time. I was playing tabla with my dad as he was practicing, and instead of keeping a straight rhythm, my mind wandered into creative mode and was like, I wonder what the tabla would sound like if I swung it like J Dilla or DJ Premier. Mm. And I started to just play looser, the same rhythm pattern, but real loose, and then get looser just to see how far I could push it before I catch the beat again. And I just remember getting lost in that, and my dad just looking over at me like, stop, and then stopping playing. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, do your job. I'm like, oh, okay. So that influence, I was just curious about like the fusion of those two styles, but it wasn't like a super conscious decision. It probably wasn't until when I was working on my first album, One. There's a song in the album called The Heart, The Pen. That's why I write, to bring my imagination to life. We actually played tabla on that record, and Michael McGlynn, my good mate and producer of that, the whole album, really encouraged me to bring that skill set onto the record. But I hadn't really thought about bridging those two worlds together until that moment. And so we made that song, I played tabla on it, and we got another good friend of mine, Harjeet Chima, to sing Punjabi vocals on it. And that was probably the first time that crossover kind of happened for me musically. Touching the moon and the sun is how my movement begun. You see this music, it keeps me in tune with the one. Definitely planted a seed for thinking about how I make music with a combining of those two cultures in mind.
So when did you become El Fresh the Lion? And while we're at it, why don't you tell us about your two names, the one your parents gave you and then the hip-hop name that you gave yourself?
Yeah, so my parents named me Sukhdeep, which, Sikh names are universal, so gender neutral. And they have very spiritual essence at them at their core. And Sukhdeep means to be a light for peace. So Sukh means peace and Deep means light. And it's such a beautiful name. I really embrace it now. But as a kid, it was a name that people made fun of. And I didn't know the meaning of my name probably until my 20s. Kind of was a full circle moment, because at the time when I was really trying to solidify what I'm about and what my role is in life and what's my intention with music, I learned the meaning of my birth name. And it made so much sense to me, because that was what I'm trying to do in my music. I'm trying to bring people together through my music. I'm trying to share stories. I'm trying to create opportunities and moments to build bridges between people, between communities, between generations. And so to be a light for peace perfectly sums up, I guess, what you'd say my mission statement is as El Fresh the Lion. The name El Fresh the Lion, it's a bit of a journey, but it was first Fresh MC. That was the first name I gave myself. And Fresh came from a friend in school. When I would show them my music, he would just compliment me and be like, that's fresh. So I kind of took that, but I turned it into an acronym, which is why Fresh always appears in all caps. And it stands for Forever Rising, Exceeding Sudden Hardships. Very much taps into where I was at mentally as a 14, 15, 16-year-old, which was I was sick of being picked on and started to fight back. And it's an embodiment of that mindset, that it was like, didn't matter what was going to be thrown in front of me, I was going to find a way to overcome. I was going to rise past it. The L came later and always stood for Lion. So it was meant to be Lion Fresh, I guess, L Fresh in short. It just sounded cool. It kind of reminded me of like LL Cool J and Big L. So I then, when I was 21, toured with Nas on his first headline tour of Australia. And Nas is like icon of hip hop, still to this day, considered one of the best to ever do it. He was a big inspiration of mine as well when it came to making hip hop, making rap music. So I was fortunate enough to tour with him when I just turned 21. And I remember planning for that tour, thinking to myself, one, I haven't released any music other than the stuff that I'm making myself and selling from my own hands. There's nothing in stores that people could go buy. This was pre-streaming, so you wouldn't be able to necessarily find stuff online unless you knew what you were searching for. So I was like, people are not going to know who I am, but I need to create a moment in the show that people would remember. And I wanted to play on this Lion character, because I was like, if I do something outrageous in this Lion character, then people remember it. So halfway through my set, at every show on the tour, I would pace the stage in a figure eight to a backdrop of my DJ playing Lion Roars, a compilation of Lion Roars for like a minute. And the idea was that it would make people stop and be like, what the hell is going on? But it would create a memorable visual. And my thinking around that was like, people would go home and Google Lion Rapper from Sydney. That might be the only thing that they remember. And then I realized, oh, the L is too subtle. Even if they search Lion Rapper Sydney, they're not going to find me. So after that tour, I changed my name to El Fresh the Lion.
El Fresh plus clarification. Very good. Very
yeah,
wise.
Yeah, basically.
We're speaking with El Fresh the Lion, and the L is for Lion, on The Year That Made Me. El Fresh, what is the year that made you and why?
2006, without hesitation, I can say, is the moment that put me on this path, changed the trajectory of my life, and came at a point where I was at a crossroads in my life. I had just turned 18, finished high school, and my parents took us to India, took us to Punjab, and took us to the city of Amritsar specifically. And I barely remember my childhood experiences of trips to India, but this one, at 18 years old, at a point that's very formative in a person's life, is one that I remember significantly. And I remember going to the Harmandir Sahib, which is the Golden Temple, more popularly known as the Golden Temple, in Amritsar. My parents took us there. It would be my first time going there. And at that point in my life, I say I was at a crossroads, because I hadn't fully resolved my identity crisis. I still felt like I didn't belong anywhere, especially being in India at that time, again, when my language was not on point, like it was still not fluent. I could kind of barely understand things at that point, but I definitely couldn't speak the language very much at all. And I felt like I was making music, but I hadn't found my voice in music, what my intention was. And I'd finished school and it was like, okay, I'm expected to go to university, but I'm like, do I really want to do that? Is that what's meant for me? I just felt like I could have gone any which way. I could have gone off the rails and just been completely anxious and depressed with no focus and just succumbed to all this pressure of dealing with a lot of, you know, racism, discrimination, whatever, and then not feeling like I belonged anywhere. Or, you know, I could have gone any which way. So we're standing there, we're about to embark on the journey to go to Hamandasar, the Golden Temple. And for anyone who's been there or who hasn't been there, basically this Gurdwara or this Sikh temple is in the middle of a very, very hectic city. So imagine Sydney CBD. And in the middle of Sydney CBD, you have this kind of tranquil temple that sits on a body of water in and amongst this city. Is this green space and this space of escape and respite from the busyness around it. So to get there, you have to walk. Taxis only take you to a main roundabout intersection, then it's barricaded. So you get off and then there's this kind of marketplace and it's hectic and you've got people trying to sell you things and all that sort of stuff and it's chaotic. And then you get to the temple complex and you start to undergo this process of humbling yourself because you've got to take your shoes off, you've got to cover your head, you've got to wash your hands and your feet. And you start to walk from busy city street, concrete and dust and all that stuff that's around onto marble floor that's like cold and your feet really feel it. And you dip your feet into the water as you walk towards the ascending staircase and you walk down. And then you see as you walk down and you're hearing the busy city soundscape behind you disappear and you start to hear the worship music, the kirtan, just take place. And then as you descend these staircases, you stop hearing the city and you get transported into a completely different place. And I remember seeing the Golden Temple, Hamandasar, in front of me in this body of water that it's sitting on. And it was, I just felt like these wet drops falling onto my hands. And it wasn't raining. I looked up to make sure it wasn't raining. I'm like, where are these drops coming from? And I touched my face and I realized I was just like uncontrollably had tears flowing down from my eyes. But I wasn't sad. I wasn't crying. I wasn't wailing uncontrollably or anything like that. I wasn't even like extremely happy, but I just had these tears flowing down my face. And I had this really overwhelming feeling in my chest of just warmth that felt like my chest was going to explode. And I remember just looking at the temple and the first two thoughts that came to my mind was, okay, you need to get on path and on track with knowing who you are and where you're from and tap into your Sikh identity and tradition and faith. And at that point, I was trimming my beard, which some people within Sikh community, we don't cut our hair. People do cut their hair, but like depending on, I guess, how far you are in your own personal journey, at a certain point, if you adhere to the teachings of the Sikh faith, we don't cut our hair. So I was like, okay, I need to stop trimming my beard, number one. Number two, the second thought I had was like, when you go home, make music, do more music, double down on music. So I feel like in that moment, my path was made clear to me. Like, know who you are, get in touch with that and utilize this skill that you have in music and just get better at it, improve at it. So that moment put me on this path today to be where I am today. It changed my life at a point where I was certainly at a crossroads and could have gone any which way.
It's an extraordinary place and obviously an extraordinary moment that really changed your life. I mentioned earlier that description of you as a cultural architect and community builder, Elfresh. You created the organization Conscious to mentor up-and-coming hip-hop artists from Western Sydney. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Conscious is a professional artist development program that I founded with Campbelltown Arts Centre at a time when the traditional structures of the music industry were starting to really be peeled away. And in particular, record labels were moving away from this development model of investing in new and exciting artists and developing their talent with a view of this having some, you know, long-term investment in these artists' trajectories and careers. So what we noticed at that time and what I saw was that there was a lot of youth community programs coming for just introducing music and songwriting to young people. There was then a lot of really successful artists and people who were making really great music coming from Western Sydney. But there was not this in between. Like, what about the people who don't get fortunate to have a friendship circle who are also interested in your trajectory in music and have different skill sets to help you, that you can all collectively help each other. What about those artists who are releasing songs, but they need that extra support? They're not signed to record labels. They don't necessarily have managers yet, but that's what they want. That's their dream. That's their goal. So I spoke to Campbelltown Arts Centre about this, and we kind of just workshopped the idea for a bit, and Conscious was born, and basically has become this program or this initiative that supports artists from Western Sydney in the hip-hop, R&B space, and tries to help develop their business skills as well as push their creativity and build bridges and pathways for them in the music industry as well. It's been running for 6 years or so now, and we've had 19 artists come through the program, specifically the main artist development aspect of the program, where they spend a year with us and we do a lot of upskilling and skill sharing and just pushing them and mentoring them and networking with them. And beyond that, we've also done a bunch of open days where we've had hundreds of people come through and learn from each other and learn from the industry experts we're able to put in the room. And we've also launched a 10-week academy program to try and teach young kids in who are school age about songwriting and an introduction to music business as well. So it's become this real platform and initiative that's embedded itself in Southwest Sydney, that extends to Western Sydney and beyond Western Sydney to broader Sydney too, in moments, to really just kind of amplify and support the talent that's coming out of Western Sydney.
Well, El Fresh the Lion, thanks for telling us about Conscious, and thanks for talking about your life and your family's story more broadly today. The new EP is Reincarnated and well worth checking out, both the audio and the fantastic music video, which really gives you the taste of hip-hop in Western Sydney for Reincarnated. We always finish the year that made me with a piece of music. Your choice today, El Fresh. What have you chosen for us and why?
I've chosen a song, Nas Is Like, by Nas. I spoke earlier about how influential his music has been on my life. That particular song, and in especially that music video, really captivated my young mind when I was just kind of getting into making music. It really just took me into his world as an artist. And I love this song so much, where lyrically he's talking about all the things that he's like. He's comparing himself to like great figures of the past, or the stuff that he sees in his New York neighborhood. He's like, I'm like all of these things. And as a kid who was told by the world outside of him that you're like this, or by, you know, his community that you need to be like this, or by his family, it's like, you're this. To hear something where the person was saying, actually, I'm all of these things and I can be any of these things and I'm the one who can create that, really excited me and spoke to me in ways that are immeasurable. So this is certainly a song that hit hard during that period around that year that changed my life.
This is Nas Is Like, and El Fresh the Lion, thanks again for speaking with us on The Year That Made Me.
Thank you.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.